So let's go. Okay. All right. Intro. 3, 2, 1, go. So, hey, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Sorry, I copied that from a famous YouTube chef. Guys, gals, non-binary pals, welcome to the Digital Cash Rundown, episode 146 with NerdGirl 007, a.k.a. Nicole Gridstead. How's it going?
Going good. Going good. Thanks, Joel. Yeah, we've already been talking for 10 or 15 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying hard not to get demonetized in this whole thing, so... bear with me. Maybe my sense of humor might be a little slow today because of that. But anyway, if you're in my Discord, actually, there was some compromise in my Discord a few weeks ago, and everyone got kicked out, and so I had to let everyone back in. But still, because if they have my NFT, they get in there and can just sign it anyway and get in there. But basically, you might need to re-sign to get in. Another bit of news on that. Which I'll do more of a post on. I'm probably going to transition away from my wax NFTs. It's just so much more annoying to like verify to get in there and stuff. So if you have one of my wax NFTs, I'm going to send you a polygon one. And everything's going to be so much easier.
Polygon one? You hate polygon.
Listen, what the hell am I going to do? Like, do you realize I have digital cash coins I can use that make me very happy from a cypherpunk standpoint, as far as there's a few options at least, but for like the EVA, it's rough out there. Like as far as what can I easily mint an NFT on, that there is a easy token gating bot that I could put in Discord to just check. It's just like, it's all trash. It's all, it's so the only thing is if I do an extra shift again, I might shift it over to Arbitrum in the future. Not because Arbitrum's any good, but because a couple of DEXs I know of, or the Maya Protocol and Chainflip, are working to add Arbitrum. And so then it has that easy DEX pathway. And because of pass-through data on Maya, at least, you would be able to do something like, say, swap dash for Arbitrum, and the Arbitrum buys the NFT. So you could put a little widget so you can buy Arbitrum NFT with Dash, and it just goes all in one go. In which case, I might do that. But the point is, right now it's Polygon. Sorry about that. Please don't admin key rug me. That's that. And if you're in my Discord, of course, super chat, jump in there, say hi, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, I got to ask you a question. Just because.
Yes. Did I ever send you an NFT?
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get into my Discord?
No.
Okay, well, you gotta do that at some point. I will mercilessly cyberbully you.
Okay, yeah. You do that anyway.
I haven't seen nothing yet. Okay, continue.
So my question for you is, if such a bot or a widget extension were built so that you could have your NFTs on Pulsechain and purchase with Dash, would you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And
okay.
First off, I do have a user, Hi XK, who is a big Dash fan, but he's also a big Pulse fan.
And sure, it was like a whole thing.
Yeah, and he would take his thing on Pulse. And I've had, of course, people saying, if there's a Bitcoin Cash Tokens NFT, would you? I'm like, listen, if I can mint the NFT and there is a token gating bot I can use, I will mint it on a potato if you want. Like, I don't care. Like, whatever you want, I'm serving the customer. If it was like, I don't think I've given up. I've never been a maximalist, but I've given up on being a selective which cryptos I use person. I just, listen, the ones that I base my own life around, like what do I primarily use? What do I invest time and effort into getting adopted into the services? That might be a smaller group, but as far as like, I'll just use anything. And like the Nano people have this Nano GPT thing where you can pay with Nano to get ChatGPT access. And I don't really have a need for ChatGPT, but if I do, I would happily get a little bag of Nano just to do that. I don't care about anything else. I just use what works. I know the maxis are cringing somewhere, but
they're not watching anyway. they stopped paying attention to us a long time ago. Yes,
that's why I have like 12 viewers, is because I don't like piss off the Maxis. And I'm not one of the bankless people. That's the problem, is I'm not a fraud. I think if I was a fraud, I'd get a lot more of an audience.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, speaking of audience and fraud and stuff like that, this is going to be a great segue. Let me switch over to, so CoinATM Radar reached out to me a few weeks, a couple months ago or whatever. It's like, hey, we tried to sponsor some random Maxi, but he didn't answer. So we thought, oh, this guy is aligned with our values. Why don't we throw him a bag just because of that? And so now they're a sponsor of the podcast, which is very nice. So let me just read a little thing on CoinATM Radar, because, you know, again, not being a total fraud actually got me this. So finally I got financially rewarded for not being a total fraud. So this podcast is sponsored by CoinATM Radar. When buying crypto with cash, an ATM is much more reliable and safer than meeting some random person in a random place. And, you know, you won't get thrown to prison like some people I know who've done that. It says, and unlike an exchange, which could freeze your account, hello FTX, you truly own all the crypto you buy. With CoinATM Radar, you can find crypto ATMs and other services where you can buy or sell cryptocurrencies for cash. And of course, in my case, it's always sell, because like if I'm traveling to Europe or something, hit up one of the ATMs, get some cash from my crypto, and just live in the dark zones if I can't figure out how to spend crypto there. And on their website, you can search by coin, address, if the ATM supports selling as well as buying, and you can also search by geo area, country, city, state. You can also check out and compare actual current fees of different ATMs. So if you want to find out more, head over to, coinatmradar.com, which is CoinATMRadar.com. Whew, there we go. So now we've got the shilling out of the way. Let's switch to the story of the day. Yes, the topic of the day, which is UK's Craig Wright. UK Supreme Court refuses Craig Wright appeal. This is a CoinDesk article. I mean, listen, don't bitch about it. There's so many. There's no good crypto publications, maybe. But no, anyway, there are
not. Except for CryptoMatic, of course, which is amazing.
Of course. In July, a panel of judges ruled that Wright was only entitled to just one Great British Pound in compensation for a libel claim against Peter McCormack. And since then, so they're going to settle. There's the next article, which is kind of in the same vein, from CoinGeek, which is a basically Craig Wright owned. Listen, this is not 100% true, but you know what I'm talking about. It's which basically Craig says in the Satoshi trial, the COPPA versus Wright, Craig Wright makes a bombshell offer to settle the COPPA case. So apparently, so the Crypto Open Patent Alliance is in litigation, I guess, with Craig Wright, because he claims he owns the patents on all kinds of different, basically all the major crypto, like all the Bitcoins and everything, that people who are fraudulently using Bitcoin, he owns it and stuff. Which is just, apparently, it seems like he's going to lose this case hard, probably, which is why there's this settlement offer he's doing. But I guess we'll see. So there's two things. First of all, the UK Supreme Court kind of throwing out the whole, defamation case or whatever it was against McCormack, etc.
So yeah, it was that the UK court ruled that McCormack had to pay the equivalent of one British pound for the defamation. And then that was appealed twice, and the court rejected the appeal. So it cannot be appealed again.
Yeah. So basically, that thing got kicked out. Now the actual upcoming case is, I guess, getting more interesting and definitive, but on a different subject. So
yeah.
Basically, the lawsuit avenue seems to be drying up for Craig. And it seems to be, from my understanding, and I don't want to be unfair to people, but like BSV has had a lot of different things going on outside of this. But a lot of BSV hopes have been pinned on favorable court outcomes. And Craig Wright himself has been doing nothing but freaking suing people and blogging people on Twitter. Like, That's literally all he does. And so, I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed in Satoshi for being like this, but you know, what's your take? You see, I would guess you're much more knowledgeable on the subject than I am, just because I am not that you're a huge expert necessarily, though you might be, but just, I have tried to not care on this kind of stuff.
So there was a time years ago when I was really obsessed with this case and this story where I spent probably a year and a half of the time that I've been in crypto just on the Bitcoin Cash, BSV kind of chain fork trauma story. But that has
I'm going to rage quit on you if you use that term on me.
Fork trauma. You mean fork trauma? Your fork trauma?
I'm just joking around
here. I know you're just forking around. Yeah. So there was a time when I spent a lot of time on it. It's been years since I have, though. It's really not a huge part of my focus. But since you said you wanted to talk about that today, I did listen to Arthur Van Pelt talk about it for about an hour earlier today. And I can say, this is something he was saying, actually, that this lawsuit has nothing to do with the patents and that it's in fact about the Bitcoin white paper and the cease and desist letter to try and force COPPA to take down the Bitcoin white paper. So Van Pelt says that SV supporters claim that COPPA is after rights patents and trying to claim them or make money, but it's nonsense because all of the patents are held by Enchain and that no court ruling will ever take those patents from Enchain. But the fear is that the patents are less valuable if Craig is not regarded as Satoshi. So that's where this all hinges, is if Craig is Satoshi, then he has the, right to the hosting of the white paper. If they can't force COPPA to take the white paper down, no, they don't get control of the patents. They don't, Enchain continues to hold those patents, but that those patents are less valuable.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's all about the money. It's always about, trying to get control over that so you get to profit out of it. Now, are those patents super valuable, do you think?
I have no idea. I really don't know that much about, intellectual property law.
Yeah, so what I have known is there's a few pieces of interesting tech associated with BSV that have that have been patented by Enchain, such as, I believe, Paymail, the username system that they use. I believe it's so. Therefore, if I tried to replicate that on a different chain, then Craig would be pissed off, or So that seems interesting, but not revolutionary. I guess they must be trying to apply these patents to a much broader scope of things, to where they're trying to apply patents to stuff they didn't actually invent.
Yeah, well, which is essentially what COPPA was created to protect against. You're really only supposed to enforce, if you are a patent holder, you're only supposed to enforce your patent defensively. Because originally I was like, okay, so who is COPPA, right? Who's behind it? And if they're, I don't know, I'm kind of skeptical of any time that alphabet letter agencies start getting involved in things. And it's like, come on, this is crypto. Do we really need this, regulatory body that allegedly represents us all, but really is just about companies. But, I did, look into it a little bit, and it seems like their pledge is to only use the patents if it is, like I said, if it's defensively, right? So Uniswap, because one of my questions was, well, okay, could COPPA potentially go after an entity like Uniswap for having a patent on their V3 that was time sensitive, right? So it's expired now. Now V3 can be forked. But it seems as though they wouldn't, because it wouldn't be coming out, Uniswap's not coming after people who didn't use their invention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little strange. One thing's for sure. It's funny how so I was just doing, I was just interviewing the guys behind Chainflip this week, and that'll be out next week. But the guy who did it, he's also the inventor of Session, the encrypted messenger. And so I think, first off, I think that's very impressive that you create something that's really, like, that I've heard about outside of crypto a lot. And a lot of people are using, saying it's like some of the best in class type stuff. At the same time as then you do something else that's like really innovative and cool, which is Chainflip. And like the genius type people who can do stuff, not saying, you know, homeboy is necessarily a genius. It seems like he could be from all this stuff. I'm just saying, you keep on having win after win. And the whole Craig Wright is Satoshi deal, which I just have never cared about. In the beginning, I thought he probably was. Now, based on not necessarily hard evidence, but just circumstantial type stuff, I doubt it, but I don't care. The real thing is I don't care because Satoshi's vision on Bitcoin
growth... Not in a BSV way? Yeah,
not necessarily that, but okay. Satoshi's words are pretty clear on Bitcoin's original design and scaling in some cases, right? Maybe not 100%. Like, there's some variability as far as how you could apply that today. It's so, I don't think we need to, like, contact Satoshi and have him say, oh my gosh, what the hell is Bitcoin today kind of thing. It's obvious it's something very different from the white paper. And I don't think that establishing the Satoshi personhood will change anything. BTC is doing its stuff. And it's just, at this point, it's going to have to succeed or fail. And we'd argue I would argue it's done both, by the way, in a lot of ways. It's succeeded and failed in a lot of ways. But some people would say one or the other on its own merits. Who cares what Satoshi says anymore? Because it's already been there the whole time. Now, if Satoshi comes back and says, no, you've done everything wrong, changes nothing, you know? And if he says, oh, you're doing everything right, that also changes nothing. So, like, and if Satoshi says, oh, you know, BSV is the real way, this is the best chain according to stuff, that does put some clout behind it, if it is real Satoshi. Mm-hmm. It's also not the final word. The final word is a free market, because Satoshi did a lot of good stuff. In my opinion, is he, out of a potential 10, Bitcoin was an 8. Like, phenomenal. A lot of innovations that just have not been, that took the space years and, like, decades to figure out how to even improve upon. But, not imperfect, right? Just a great first start. And some things we need to fix, like the governance thing is something that was a little that caused Bitcoin to do what it did. And I think that pure proof of work might not be the best long term. Like, maybe it's a great start, maybe you transition.
It was even discussed. If you ever looked at, like, the early Bitcoin talk forums, there were discussions about transitioning to proof of stake.
Yeah. So with all this, like, Satoshi being whoever, it's like a temporary, like, bump where it's like, oh wow, first of all, this is the most, it's a branding thing of like, oh, like, the real Satoshi likes this Bitcoin. Okay, that's a great branding boost. Beyond that, it's just like, if we have a genius on our side who, you know, whatever this, the original Bitcoin invention, whether it's an aggregate work or a singular thing, has a lot of genius in it. The idea is Satoshi then gets to work doing more cool stuff. And that's where it just stalled out with BSV, in my opinion, where Satoshi did dick. He did nothing. He just started suing people right out the gate, and he's still doing it. And, like, if it's Satoshi again. But, like, at that, that's why I just don't care for all this stuff. It seems like even if Craig Wright is Satoshi, he's kind of turned into a patent trolling scammer these days, just spending his days trying to, like, lay legal claim to a bunch of existing things and keep people from doing stuff and just, like, not pushing the space forward. I mean, this is like a 2015, maybe this would have made sense, but not 2024. Like, I think we should be building cooler things and stuff by now. I don't know if you disagree.
I totally agree. I think we were having this conversation on Twitter yesterday, and I was like, yeah, I don't really care either. I feel like Bitcoin was, like, a really good grandpa, you know? And so, you know, you love your grandpa and everything. You want him to live, right? But, like, when grandpa passes away, you're like, oh, you know, I'm glad that he's not suffering anymore.
Yeah.
I feel similarly about Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's like also grandpa you listen to is like, oh, you know, during the Depression we had to do this and blah blah blah, and you're like, whoa, like I'm learning so much wisdom. And then you hear his views on minorities and you start to tune him out a little bit, right? It's not like it's not across the board, like, you know, there's some things that get a little dated there. So that's kind of it. But with this whole trial thing, Peter Cormack annoys me, but I'm going to put his stuff on the thing anyway. He just said, my lawyers have confirmed that Craig Wright has had his final appeal denied by the Supreme Court. It's over. I won. Welcome to law, motherfucker.
But I'm like interested in that. He says it's over. I won. But he was ordered to pay one GBP.
Yeah. And now it's over. So now that he paid it, I guess. But
okay.
But he says permission to appeal was refused by three Supreme Court justices, blah, blah, blah. Says on the grounds that the appeal did not raise arguable question of law. This is the end of the line for a substantive claim against me. So I guess they're like, okay, you talk shit. You owe him a pound, but you can't appeal it anymore. Like you can't, you can keep talking shit. So
right.
5 years of hell over, blah, blah, blah. And which takes us then to the next thing. So, as far as I know, Peter McCormack and Hodelinat were, they just sort of did typical Maxi stuff on Twitter and just criticized this person and called him all kinds of mean names. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's annoying, but like, you know, welcome to free speech. Like, I don't understand. However, so Hodelinat, who I had to log into a different account because he blocked me, because again, he and I don't get along either, but he's talking about, he says, my life completely changed March 29th, 2019, almost 5 years ago. And he had made several tweets warning people about Craig Wright and making my opinion. So he sent a letter in the DM, blah, blah, blah. Craig and Calvin put a $5,000 bounty on my identity and then firmly doxed me after finding out what it was, which is not cool, right? Then they proceeded to put private intelligence surveillance on me, of trying to gain access to my social circle, both online and physically, presence in hundreds of groups, monitor my house, producing regular detailed reports on all of my activity, traveled to where I was, so on, so, and it's still going on today. And so at the same time, he says, my dad was fighting against cancer when this all started. I was dealing with constant legal pressure and threats throughout this fight. When he finally died late 2020, the legal pressure was at a peak and my funding situation was uncertain. And so basically said, I've lived since 2019 with the constant knowledge that my house and belongings are on the line, and Craig's stated goal of bankrupting his enemies would be a reality if I've lost. He says, no mercy for these people. And Peter McCormack said a very similar thing, this one over here. We just said, 2 months before my trial, and he says, it looked like I would lose. I had multiple calls to my lawyers, bankruptcy team. Craig's costs would have wiped me out, about £5 million, which is nuts. My business assets, the football club, the podcast, etc., would have been forced sold to pay the court order. Craig himself would have ended up owning them. All my possessions would have also been sold. Because I would have been able to retain living in my house for a year, as I have kids, allowing time to find new rental accommodation, at which point my house would be sold. At this point, costs withstanding, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, basically, we're talking about complete and total destruction of a life, right?
Mm-hmm.
The kind of thing that causes a lot of people, drives a lot of people to suicide. Mm-hmm. And we're talking, like, I have my issues with Peter McCormack mostly because he's a dumb Maxi. And he's also, like, slandered some stuff I specifically... He's done some shady things that just annoy me. But, like, I'm not going to find a way to sponsor his podcast. You know, I'm going to talk shit on Twitter. That's it, though. He deserves to...
destroy his life.
Yeah, he deserves to live his peaceful life. And if there's any consequences that come at him for playing fast and loose with the truth and stuff, that should be fewer people subscribe to his podcast. And, you know, his audience gets smaller. People don't trust him. But that's like, if they don't, I don't, why would I see to it that his following's diminished and his life is ruined? Like, I don't understand why you'd want to do that. And unless you're trying to just destroy people. You want to bully people in the silence so that they're too scared. And in the silence, you get to say, look, no one is challenging my claim that I'm Satoshi, because you've already bullied all of them legally into silence. That's kind of the thing. And that's that's really pretty despicable, if you ask me.
Yeah. No, I think you're right on there. That is, like, my grandma told me once when I was young and I was very upset at one of the kids that she babysat for, and I had, like, exacted this plan for revenge. I mean, I was, like, 4 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And she told me, and I was telling her of my plan, and she told me, Nicole, the best revenge is living well. Mm-hmm. It's the only way. You don't do things that are gonna, you know, inflict pain or harm on others. You just live your best life. And, you know, that's the only way of getting revenge. And I've lived like that, you know, since then.
Yeah. The real thing, we go back to, like, oh, what was the purpose of Bitcoin and stuff? And unfortunately, a lot of BSV people got roped into this scammy mindset because it, with the inability to justify BSV's superior utility in a completely decentralized context, they started to say, well, decentralized doesn't matter, or, well, it's just a really way of, like, cataloging things so that the law can actually decide. And, like, well, if you steal some, if you have a court order, you should be able to revert to repossess coins and send them back to their original owner or whatever. Like, all this kind of stuff gets, it starts to break down at the very fabric of why this all matters. And tools are tools. They do different things for different people. I care about crypto because two things. One, I care about freedom. And two, I want the world to be just a better place. And so destroying people's lives with lawsuits is not making the world a better place. You're just hurting people. And the first part about the decentralization and freedom, if this is something you have to constantly enforce through legacy legal systems, if it's not something that you can just exceed those systems by just, doesn't mean there's no place for those things, especially not in today's world, but it's just not interesting in the slightest to me. Like, this individual, as far as I've known, I have no idea what he did in, like, the 2008 days and all that. Like, I'm pretty confident he had something to do around the time of the...
That's the thing that, like, you can't, once you start looking into it, you can't really deny that Craig was there.
Yeah, he was around, at least.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, and so all that, like, everything he's done as far as everyone's known, oh, it's this Craig Wright guy who claims to be Satoshi. Everything he's done has been all government and destroying people. And those are the opposite things of what I care about. So, yeah, just, I wouldn't say, like, bury him under the prison or anything like that, but, like, just make him lose his cases and have him go away. And I hope the people I know who still subscribe to his vision, I hope that they find a way to, like, I hope they don't just leave crypto when he's done with them. Like,
well, okay, let's just talk about this. Like, so let's say, you know, Craig loses this COPA case. Does that really change anything about, like, BSV's ability to function as a blockchain? I don't think it does. Does it? Am I missing something?
No, I think he just loses claim over open source stuff.
Yeah.
And that's it. And he could still, and I think depending on how he loses these cases, he might lose the ability to lay claim on things in the future. There might be legal penalties. I saw someone say something like he was ordered to pay in excess of $1 million to something in some court. There's so many court. That's the thing is, which Craig Wright court case? Because there's so many, right? But so I think he'll probably just lose a bunch of money and not be able to do more of this stuff. Or more importantly, he'll lose Calvin Ayer's money, you know? And I don't know, but there's a lot of BSV people who, if Satoshi in the lawsuit is not a thing anymore, if you cannot prove that Craig Wright is Satoshi in a court of law, which is, what a weird way to prove.
I know. How is this the whole? I thought that the whole purpose of this was to, like, separate money government, and why are we using
and so in the, if he loses that, which probably seems like he will, and then he loses the ability to gain an uncompetitive advantage over the rest of the crypto space, again, through lawsuits. I just don't think there's a lot left of wind in the BSV sails. It doesn't mean that there's no cool tech you can still build, but it's just not going to be the number one top. Everyone's, you know, kicking ass. And those people probably have to go somewhere. And I hope they find a way to reorient the ones who care about freedom in some way and just kind of made bullshit excuses for Craig. I hope they find a way to reorient themselves and stay in the space because it's cool. It's not like Mike Hearn, when Mike Hearn rage quit in 2016, I guess, right? As far as I know, he's been out of crypto the whole time. He's just gone to legacy finance. And like, that's really sad that one of the early and most talented Bitcoin developers was like, just not in the space. Like,
well, I mean, aren't Gavin Andreessen and John Matonis gone too?
Yeah, I don't pay too close attention to what they're doing, but Gavin hasn't talked very much publicly. He's mentioned some positive things about Bitcoin Cash and stuff, but like, as far as I know, they're out of the game.
Yeah.
And at least Roger Ver is still in the game, even though he's, I don't know, he's really, well, yeah, he talked again about the court case. I think his own court case. I do think he had, not with Craig, but the CoinFlex thing. I do think he has a big trust problem with people where he trusts some scumbag people who say the right things to him and gets burned. But he's still in crypto. He's still talking about crypto. He's not nearly as Bitcoin Cash focused, but he's still around. And like, I had that moment in 2016 when Bitcoin started not scaling and I had to choose, am I going to just abandon the space and move on, or am I going to do something different? So I just decided to stay. And I hope all these cool people who are still in BSV, and I know a few of them, just stay in. The funny thing is, I do know a bunch of, a few at least, BSV people have gotten heavy into the BTC ordinals. And the ordinals is very, it's kind of a, I wouldn't even call it a BSV attack, but it's more like a BSV hedge, where the people who are doing stuff like that on BSV are now doing stuff in a different way on BTC. And so as long as they're still, they'll still be in the space. So that's good. You know, real quick, just put it up on the screen. There's what a WizSec Bitcoin Research posted some thread. He said, further Craig Wright forgeries revealed. This is big, long thread. I scrolled through that thread. I don't know if you saw that one.
No, I did. I saw it's like the 20 admissions or the 20 pieces of evidence of fraudulent evidence that Craig has submitted that COPA gave to the court and that the court accepted. Yeah, is that what this is?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's basically all these like forgeries and stuff. And the picture is that picture of Jurassic Park when you're looking at that big mound of dino poo-poo. And it just with like all the different forgeries, including forging something in C++ that the C++ founder of the language had to come out and say, yeah, that's complete nonsense. I didn't invent that until later or whatever. And so just some mind blowing levels of stuff. I can't believe, like, I really wonder what the end game for all this is. Like, is it just, well, it seems like this kind of stuff will come back for some kind of like, not just, oh, you lost the case, but you'll be sued for like fraud, or you'll get thrown in prison or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I know that it's been speculated for a long time that there are certain people in, not just in Bitcoin, in various cryptocurrencies and leadership positions who are specifically installed to make crypto look bad, to make regulators come after, so that laws can be passed, you know, to limit crypto's, I don't know, appeal reach. I don't know if that's, you know, if that's the case here, but maybe.
Yeah, who knows? Who really knows? Well, we're almost done. Let's just very briefly touch on the ETF thing, just to mention it. So I just put up one of these Bitcoin account things saying ETFs have stacked 100,000 plus Bitcoin. Somehow you are selling. What is wrong with you? And so the roller coaster of ETF stuff has been covered by this very show a few different times. But the point is, the price was going up for BTC. a bunch of ETFs were on the table to be approved. The SEC tried not to do it, but finally they did. Mm-hmm. And yay, everyone jumped in, and a bunch of the, like, Bitwise was throwing a bunch of money at open source development. They posted their Bitcoin address there. And then you have Van Eck talking about doing that stuff. And then Franklin Templeton has been opining on a lot of Bitcoin development things, like on ordinals and scaling and stuff, which has made a bunch of people weird. Anyway, all this kind of stuff. But then the price has gone booey. And yeah. A lot of these laser eyes have been a little bit upset about that. So what's your quick take on that?
It was priced in. I mean, mm-hmm. It was priced in already. Like, you think that you have the largest financial institutions in the world who are not going to front run the news of, you know, 11 ETF approvals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As always, dump it on retail. That's the real value proposition of all of crypto, is dumping on retail.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Hopefully not. Hopefully more. You know, but... yeah, that's just kind of what happened. What's your prediction for where Bitcoin goes in the short-ish term from here, as far as price, but also just generally speaking? Let's just talk. Like, first of all, do you think it's going to be an over six-figure peak at the end, by the end of next year?
I don't know. It's really hard for me to make price predictions because it's just not what I do, or, like, you know what I,
I mean, you know me.
Yeah. It's not like, and then specifically on Bitcoin, not that I don't care, because I definitely care about what I thought Bitcoin was, but what Bitcoin is today and what I thought Bitcoin were are different things. Mm-hmm. So, like, I care about Bitcoin in, like, an ideological sense, but about the actual asset, BTC, don't care. You know, like, I have some, but don't particularly care. So, like, just what I would think is there has to be significant psychological pressure at the six-figure mark. So, for it to significantly exceed $100,000, there would need to be so much buy pressure. And I guess I just don't know where that would come from.
Yeah. I predict that, barring anything different in the technological direction of Bitcoin. So it could be that some of these ETF funders of development start seeing this as a stagnant asset and start pressuring the dev teams to do stuff like increase the block size limit and put some extra programmability and other things like that, which would make Bitcoin a much more interesting thing. And then there could be a huge upside, temporarily at least. Barring that, I think it'd be really, I think it would be pretty catastrophic if there was not a six-figure price by the end of next year. Like, I think it doesn't mean I don't think it won't happen. I just don't think it would be good for the Bitcoin people, right? Because
you think that would cause, like, breakdown among Bitcoiners?
Yes, because already, like, the last peak of 69,420 was, people were predicting that cycle, like, a 220,000, like, stuff like that. I was more conservative. I mean, of course, I'm not a guy who does this. So, like, I don't know anything. But I just thought, oh, you know what sounds more reasonable is like 130,000 or something. But it was like half that, less than half that. So I think we're starting to see less splendiferous cycles. And I do think we're, like, if it didn't hit six figures, especially considering the six figures of 4 years ago, like, the value at 65,420...
yeah.
Is probably worth close to six figures in today's dollars, just inflation, right?
Yeah.
So if it doesn't break six figures, I think that'd be a terrible sign for Bitcoin. Now, that being said,
do you think there would be a lot of, like, capitulation among people who were previously regarded as hodlers of last regard?
Yes, absolutely. I've already seen some of this being happening on Twitter after the ETF downturn. What pansies? Like you just one little dip and you just you're out or you're shaken. But so I really think that it's going to hit. If it doesn't hit, I think some actors would be convinced to push it to 100K. And how long it stays there. I mean, I definitely don't think we're in the 200K game at all. At least not this cycle. Probably not. Maybe next cycle, but maybe even not then. Like, I think we're starting to slow down the pumps.
The S curve. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when there's no, like Ethereum was posed for a flippening this cycle, except they freaking could not scale, and then like, okay, that's done. You know, flippening has been canceled until further notice. It's not happening anymore. So that's just my general thoughts on that thing, is the ETF thing. Once other coins have ETFs too, there's just going to be no... Like Bitcoin's like the maxis have turned their entire attention. Yeah, grandpa. Grandpa's turned the entire attention into being like, oh, I'm institutionally supported and a reserve asset and stuff. But if everything is institutionally supported and a reserve asset, then it takes away, just like if every crypto was the first crypto ever created, then no one cares. So that's kind of my thing.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is this whole COPA thing, kind of like they keep saying, well, BSV is a fork of BCH, which is a fork of BTC, the first and original cryptocurrency. But like Bitcoiners consistently tell everyone Bitcoin isn't cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, you know, dichotomy there. Like there's a lot of hypocrisy going on, and it makes things a lot more confusing than it needs to be.
Of course, and that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's wrap this thing up. What do you have for people? It's chill o'clock.
I thought that was chill, you know?
It's the most wonderful time.
The 12 people watching probably already follow me. I probably already follow all of you too. But if I don't, let me know.
All right, well, the shill I will give is follow you on X. I put it up on the screen. Nerdgirl, NRDGRL, 007. On X, and yeah, has a lot of fun takes, still has more followers than me. I gotta catch up, and has a pretty hilarious banner for the profile.
Oh, my banner is so good. I made that.
Yeah, I just can't mess with it. It's top stuff. All right, yeah. So follow Nicole. I'm doing the Dash podcast next, so I'm a little bit late for that, so I gotta run and do that. But yeah, everyone remember, taxation is theft, your phone is spying on you. Live on crypto before it's too late. And a bunch of other things I haven't figured out to put in that list. But anyway, enjoy the weekend, guys. Use your crypto. And I'll see you guys either in like 5 minutes or next week. Bye-bye.